It's Damien from Marketing Food Online, and tonight it's going to be a Q&A question and answer. I've got a ton of questions that have accumulated on my computer here from you guys. I have been extremely busy lately, so I do apologize. I have not had a chance to get back to a lot of the questions, but I do have some time now. It is a very, very late in the evening. You can probably see that in my eyes, but let's get right down to the Q&A and get started. So I've got some really amazing questions actually tonight, and I'm not over-exaggerating by saying that. A lot of these questions are very, very good questions, and I've got some answers and possibly some great tips on how to assist you with these answers. So the first question I've got is actually from Gonzalo. He is asking from Bolivia. So hello to everybody in Bolivia, especially you, Gonzalo, if you are watching on the video. So I wanted to get to his question because it's actually about location. I did a video recently about our bakery. Let me just move this a little bit there. There we go. I did a recent video about our bakery. My first retail location that I opened up with my wife is actually, it was due to what I could really afford, the location that I had. And of course, with any business, location is the utmost importance. So the thing of it is that a lot of times when you first open a business, your budget may be kind of limited, or it may just be that that is the best you could get for what you have to work with. So you need to make the most of it. And that is fine, because there are ways. Yes, there are ways to drive traffic to your business if it's not in the most best part of town, or if it's not in a shopping plaza where there's a lot of foot traffic. There are ways to get around that to get people to come to your business. So let me jump right into that. Don't want to waste your time. And like you always see on my videos, I get right to the point. So he says he's about two blocks from like some hospitals. He's in an area of his neighborhood that is okay. It could be better. It's not the best. So how do you overcome that? How do you get traffic to come? And that is where you need to be hustling your marketing skills. And if you don't have marketing skills, the ability to bring people in and do those types of advertising, you need to figure out what works best for where you are. So when I say hustle, what is up to you is you know the neighborhood. If you have businesses, schools, and other retailers around you, then you need to go out there and make it happen and let them know that you are there, okay? Advertising and doing a lot of community awareness, being that you need to have a presence in the community at different events. If you don't have those types of events, then you need to walk over, or you need to literally go to the hospital and let people know, kind of blow the horn and let people know you are there. You can offer them coupons. You can offer them specials, daily lunch specials. And by the time you do that, over a certain period of time, if you're given about 3 or 4 months, even 6 months down the road, the word will spread and people will know you were there. Then it's going to be dependent upon the quality of your product to keep them coming back. But to get them to be aware that you're there without having to be in the middle of a highly trafficked area, you should go have hand out flyers or even have them made and have someone hand them out for you as part of your staff. Have them go out and bring samples. When you want to attract somebody with a restaurant or a food or some type of cafe, bring samples to those establishments. If it's a hospital, bring in 4 or 5 dozen meals, maybe even bring in 50 meals, and not on the same day, but over a period of time, bring them samples of what you bring and say, hey, you guys love this. Let you know we're right down here. Let me give you the address. We also have some specials going. We got some coupons. We got some lunch specials. Everything is made fresh. Pitch your product, but you got to be relentless about it. You can't go there and do it just one day, maybe twice, maybe three times. You need to be there about 2 or 3 times a week when you first open. And before you open, when you have a grand opening date in mind, you need to build up to that. Advertise as much as you can in any type of newspaper that you're in, local newspaper, anything that's circulated locally. If there's a community center, go to the community center. If there's schools, go to the schools. Let the teachers know. If there's hospitals, as you mentioned in your question, go to the hospital and let everyone know there that, you know what, on Thursdays, we're going to offer a special specifically for hospital workers. There's a 5 or 10% discount on our food. Come in and check out our menu. Here's some samples. The reason why I say this is that when my wife and I started our candy business, we literally had to hustle. We were given 9 fresh markets in the city that we're in. And we had to set up every single weekend with a sample table. And we literally had to go there and give out samples of our product to sell it. And we had to walk around the store. We had to hand out samples. We had to get people to really know we were there. And we were given 9 stores. So we were every weekend hitting 2 to 3 stores and then rotating it. So we set up the table. We had to set samples. We had to do bags, promo bags that we had on the actual table itself. We had business cards to make up. We had to do the tablecloth, the whole sign behind us, the whole shebang. But we had to hustle it. And if you do that, trust me, if you spend the time doing it, you're going to get the attention you need. You don't have to necessarily do this forever. Once you're in the community and people know you're there, it's really going to be word of mouth. Then you can do kind of like some maintenance, if you will. You can do some hustling maintenance where you only have to do it a couple times in a month, maybe 2 or 3 times, maybe just refresh it and go to the hospital or go to the local businesses, go to the local corporate area. If there's a lot of places where there's high rise or there's big business areas where there's a multitude of people, go there and offer your menu. Bring some samples. Try to do some catering. Let the businesses know, hey, you know what? You're having a luncheon. You're getting together. We have a fantastic cafe. I can cater it for you. So you really want to get out there, and you got to just not to overuse the word, but hustle, hustle, hustle. Next up, I hope that gives you some guidance on how to do that and get some people. Remember that when you first start any business, it's the most expensive part of the business because of the fact that nobody knows what you're doing. Nobody knows that you're there. Nobody's ever tried your product, tried your service. So the initial upkick, the initial upstart of any business is always the most expensive. Once the wheel starts turning, it becomes cheaper, easier. Word of mouth is a little much more than it was obviously before you were there. And then from there, it starts to gain some momentum and then your business can grow. But you really need to hustle. So next up I have is, this was the question I wanted, another one I wanted to get into. This was actually from Henry. And it was in regards to using a commercial kitchen and producing. This is actually a question I've been asked a multitude of times before. If you produce a food product in a commercial kitchen, then you've got it set to go. Let's say it's packaged and all that. So then what do you do with it? You can't just leave it in the commercial kitchen unless they have storage space dedicated for it. So it's most likely that you're going to be bringing it home. So the question was, is once you bring it home, then can you distribute it from your home, although it was made in a commercial kitchen? This is a question that I can and can't answer. Yes, I can answer it. You would need to double check with your local health department or the Department of Agriculture, whoever regulates the local food businesses in the area. A lot of times there's a crossover between who actually inspects them and then whose regulations you fall under. Double check with one of those two agencies and find out who it is. The reason being is they're going to give you direction and tell you, look, once you've prepared the food and it's packaged and sealed, you're fine. You can take it home and then distribute it, but it cannot be produced at home. Or they're going to say, once you've produced it in a commercial kitchen, you need to ensure that it stays on the property. You won't be able to distribute it from your home. But the thing is, you find out from your commercial kitchen that you're dealing with what kind of shelf space or storage space, because most of the time they actually do offer shelf space for prepared food products. Okay, it might be refrigerated, maybe frozen, or it may just be room temperature. But that question I can't answer specifically because of the cities and the counties' regulations vary, okay? Some states have different laws in regards to how you can take the food off the property and bring it to another location. Some of them don't allow you to do that. So one of the two agencies that I mentioned in your area, so let's just say it was Atlanta, Georgia. Let's say you were in Atlanta or something. You would want to contact the local office. They have satellite offices, they're called, where these departments, these governmental agencies have satellite offices everywhere. So you want to find out, you can Google it, Atlanta, Georgia, USDA, the Department of Agriculture phone number. Contact them via the phone and say, look, this is how I'm doing this. What is your direction? What's your guidance on that? So yes and no, and I hope that kind of gave you some idea. I can't speak on every single city, but I can tell you how to find the department and find the different agency to ask, okay? So double check with them. In most cases, you can. It's going to be dependent also upon the type of food product. non-potentially hazardous items that are not heat or time sensitive, you can probably bring them home and you should have no problem, okay? Otherwise, they would have to just stay refrigerated or stay on the property. So I hope that helps you out with that. Now, the next one up. Oh, yeah, this was another great one. Actually, this was from a subscriber. This is from Samuel. He was asking about, it looks like actually selling frozen empanadas, and I'm hoping I'm understanding the question, empanadas through Amazon. So is the USDA required by Amazon for something like empanadas? So number one, can you sell frozen food or heat-sensitive food products on Amazon? Yes. Do they have really strict guidelines? Oh, yes, they do. Now, when you're selling those types of things, Amazon doesn't necessarily set a guideline list in a sense. They want you, though, to follow the guidelines set up by the Department of Agriculture, the FDA, or the USDA. Okay. And what I mean by that is that if you're selling a frozen food item, Amazon does require that you have it set so when you ship it, the temperature is kept and maintained so the food product quality is not going to have any questions about it when it arrives to the customer. It can't be thawed out. It can't be put into a situation where the temperature falls below a certain temperature and bacteria begins to form. So it's a little, to be honest with you, it's a little tricky selling frozen food online, even if it wasn't on Amazon, okay, even just shipping frozen food, because you have to keep the temperature extremely low during transit in spring and summer. Of course, it's very difficult to do that. What I would recommend personally is to try, when it deals with frozen food business, try to begin to grow it locally. And from it being grown locally, as cash flow comes in, or you could get investors to invest, then think about the idea of shipping it and going on to an e-commerce setting, because e-commerce is a really big challenge when it comes to heat-sensitive food products, okay? I personally, the stuff that we sell, of course, was a lot of chocolate and things during the spring and summertime, so the heat does come into play, but it doesn't create a potentially hazardous food product because there's no spoilage to chocolate and pretzels. But if a raw meat item or fish or chicken, that can become a very, very challenging situation. So if I were you, you want to start with the empanada business, that's great. And that's actually a hugely popular product. I would start locally and try to get them into grocery stores, Whole Foods style, you know, small local health food stores, and get it going locally. And then from there, sprout out and grow the business from that. If you jump right into e-commerce with that type of food product, it can be extremely, also very expensive and cost a lot of money in order for you to do that. So I'm going to wrap it up here with the Q&A question and answer period, and I will do a handful of more questions down the road. I hope I can see you guys on the next video.